News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Well, this is that part of the week where I get to sit back and sort of just take it all in. And I one of the things I really enjoy is hearing the perspectives of other people that are sort of in the right side, you know, bubble, if you will. One of those is Copper. I mean, she runs the board. She keeps the trains running, I like to say. But man, she's got great opinions of her own. And so once a week, we do this thing called Copper's Corner, where the microphone is all hers. She can go ahead and relate an opinion from her own perspective to her generation or just to anybody in general. Enough said. Copper, the microphone's yours.
Copper's Corner, a safe space for hard truths.
Hello, everyone. Today, I bring you a report on the latest gender battle. Date, February 7th, 2022. Location, the fields of Twitter. Casualties, human decency, sanity, and the reputation of Christians. The victor? Unknown. Now, this spontaneous skirmish began with the wayward shot of one Christian pastor, Brian Sauvé. He posted on Twitter, quote, "Dear ladies, there is no reason whatsoever for you to post pictures of yourself in low-cut shirts, bikinis, bra and underwear, or anything similar, ever. Not to show your weight loss journey, not to show your newborn baby, not to document your birth story. Signed, your brothers." End quote. Of course, Twitter completely flipped, with scores of people sending him pornographic material, calling him names, saying he had popped straight out of The Handmaid's Tale, you name it. Adidas, the sports brand, replied to him with a mosaic of topless women, which they had used in an ad campaign for their sports bras to, quote, "celebrate women's bodies." People accused him of not being able to control his sexual urges. Dear Brian trended all day on Monday with these kinds of vitriolic responses. Now, I'll say off the bat that this kind of behavior is despicable, and I'm sad to see that a lot of the people are younger people, although there's a mix. But I have mixed feelings about this. Who was Brian trying to reach? Was he really trying to foster biblical modesty and an understanding between Christian men and women, between the secular world, between conservatives and liberals? If so, why would he phrase it in such an aggressive and impersonal way on Twitter of all places? He's a pastor, an educator. He has plenty of opportunities for nuanced, biblically sound discussions in both group settings and one-on-one discipleship situations. He could reach out to parents and from the pulpit to discuss chastity, sexuality, you name it. Now, I completely understand how frustrating it is to have to watch our words all the time in a culture that is rejecting the Bible. And sometimes you just want to let your thoughts out without worrying about hurting people's feelings and putting your foot in the woke mob's nest. But leaders are held to a higher standard. Did Brian really think this post would result in a godly discussion and encourage women to think about how their attire affects their brothers in Christ? Now, I used to resent these teachings. As a little girl, I got sick of teachers and parents telling me to wear pants and a long shirt at pool parties while the boys ran around shirtless. It wasn't until my brother gave me some vulnerable insight into male experiences that I got an inkling of how difficult it is for men to remain sexually pure in a world that bombards them with overly sexualized information. Now, I had a lot of compassion on my brother, and if Brian had taken a similar approach, I'm sure he could have actually reached some hearts. But he not only showed no interest in explaining why men have these dictates about dress codes, but he seemed completely devoid of compassion, even for women sharing photos of their newborn babies. I mean, come on, man. I don't have a problem with his opinion. We all have a right to express our opinion. But with how he approached this issue, looking at some of his other tweets, he didn't sound like a Christian man, opening his heart and the teachings of Scripture with love and understanding. He had a long thread explaining how husbands can get their wives to repent for being disrespectful. He says he, quote, "wants to vomit at the thought that women could be leaders," saying God did not equip us to rule, and we are just as unfit for leadership as men are to breastfeed, as though we have a physical or mental deficiency in the area. Now, I know my Bible. In Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, God tells both Adam and Eve to rule over the earth and to fill and subdue it. He doesn't tell men to rule and women to fill. If he believes the whole Bible, I'm sure Brian agrees with this. So, does he mean women aren't fit to rule over men in the church? in relationships or in society at large or at all? Is he perpetuating one of the greatest misinterpretations of scripture and the following logical fallacy? God called men to leadership in the church and household. Women are not men. Therefore, women are not called to be leaders in any area of life. And this must also mean women are biologically deficient in the area of leadership. That's a fallacy, folks. I find it even more ironic that Brian Sauvé is a classical Christian educator. Now, we've been talking a lot about education these days, and I attended a classical Christian school growing up. My parents are both classical educators. My father helped design some of the original curriculum in collaboration with Veritas Press that jump-started the classical Christian education movement. So I know what I'm talking about when I say that this style of education is designed to raise leaders who will impact culture and history for Christ. It's designed to solve this rift that is growing in our country between different sides of ideologies and to make Christianity matter again. But if Brian truly believed women were incapable of leadership, would he admit any girls into his classical school? And yet there are girls in this classical school. This type of vague and impulsive messaging is what gives Christians a bad name in the culture at large, and it can confuse both congregants and seekers about what God really says. And that's what really matters in the end. Not what men or women believe or feel, not what, you know, the liberals or Hollywood or Twitter says, but what God says. When I say I believe that the word is perfect, reviving the soul, I mean that God's word is perfect, not humans' interpretation of it. Now, I'm not the only Christian or conservative who had issues with his phrasing and use of Twitter to throw bombs. In fact, I was more grieved to see the vitriolic responses from fellow Christians than from non-Christians. I'd expect the latter. I'm heartbroken to see us tearing each other apart like this in the public arena. We see liberals tearing each other apart when they disagree, and I would hope that we would do better than that. We would be more united. But it didn't seem like that. And I was even more disappointed that a pastor is the one who opened the door for such an unpleasant fight. In any area of theology or history, Christians on the whole are willing to admit that mistakes and sin are rampant. You name it, conquest, slavery, denominational splits, the nature of God. We're willing to confess that we sin when trying to understand the Bible and that our interpretations are rife with our own desires. But not in the area of gender? Does this in any way uphold the command from one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, where he says, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." It grieves me to see this because the world is watching. The media wants to know what we have to say because they're waiting to destroy us. They want to uproot our leaders or undermine them in front of us. They want voters who hear a candidate is a Christian to balk. And as we approach elections, looking for a new senator and a governor, and there are many female candidates, what beliefs will guide us? And how will we present ourselves? Are we willing to risk losing this younger crowd who is more driven by gender ideas than ever before? Are we willing to risk losing them from politics and from the church because we'd rather vent on Twitter than teach with Christ's humility and love? I hope not. I hope we can shift this discussion and have some actual understanding between people. And that's Copper's Corner.
Nice. Nicely put. So good stuff. And let me ask you, I took notes. Again, I've got a whole scratch pad here just filled with notes. So I know you laugh every time I say that. That's the only way I can keep up. I got to take notes.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'll be like, you know, half an hour later, oh, I meant to ask this. So I heard two things in there in terms of addressing Brian. I mean, you had some larger points.
Yeah.
But one was his concerns, apparently, his concerns, I'll verbalize it that way, his concerns regarding what I would just call his modesty.
Yeah.
And the other was, did I hear you correctly, that he, on a separate post, like you looked at his page and you found a separate post saying women do not deserve the opportunity for leadership in that regard?
Okay. Yeah, he said unfit.
Gotcha. Okay, did he really? Wow. Okay. Well, that's a knucklehead statement. But let me ask you this. First of all, how old was Brian?
He looks middle-aged.
What does middle-aged mean?
Maybe a little younger. He looks like maybe 40, 42.
Okay, well, 40's the new 30, girl, just so you know.
Okay,
but,
okay.
But all right, anyway,
he's got
so
a big beard, so he looks right. A little older than he might be.
Okay, so O'Brien was in his 40s, let's say. I'm just trying to get a mental context for perhaps his generational biases, yeah, or whatever else, but doesn't matter. I mean, you can have, you know, biases in all kinds. But so let me ask you this. What if Brian had been a woman who said those things? Would they have come across the same way?
You know, it's really sad for me to see that actually women can be more willing to tear each other apart for having different opinions. Like with J.K. Rowling, the whole liberal
crowd. I raised a daughter. I know that to be true.
Yeah, tore her apart as soon as she said, you know, I've got some issues with the transgender things going on. So, yeah, I don't think anyone's safe. My mom has gotten lots of hate from some women for having 7 kids, being a stay-at-home mom. Pastor's wife, you know, they're like, why don't you pursue a career? Have you been forced to stay at home to have that many kids? She's like, no, it's my choice. Get off my back.
Well, and it's a calling too, by the way, 7
yes,
kids.
Yes.
So, and by the way, that's also work. So anybody thinks she didn't have a career, she had a career. It involved 7 kids.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But so before we run out of time, so a couple things. In what context would Brian's maybe ill-styled comments on modesty have been okay?
Yeah, I mean, in the church, I think that's definitely the place to talk about that. Because, I mean, I agree to a certain extent there. Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I was just like, why do I have to wear this shirt? But, like I said about my brother giving me some more insight into that, I mean, that's some one-on-one discipleship groups or discussion forums or the church, I think, are great places to talk about that. And we have the right to express those opinions without, no, secular people telling us we're wrong for having them.
And is there any possibility that I'm just spitballing here, but is there any possibility that Brian was sort of dropping those bombs for the sole purpose of generating the feedback? I mean, maybe that's his style. Maybe it's drop the bomb, see what happens.
Yeah. Except, I mean, then that goes back to my question, what's the point? Does he want to get a lot of secular people hating on him so then he looks like a victim of the woke mob? Does he actually want people to understand where he's coming from and for,
yeah,
people have a good discussion and to respect each other's opinions? I mean, if that's the case, then sure, online forums are great for that. But I don't know. It just seemed to be opening the door for a lot of hate.
Well, and he did that apparently.
Yeah.
And your points, by the way, we're out of time, but your points, by the way, are well taken. Women in positions of leadership is well proven throughout generations and across societies. Yeah, I've actually served with members of the military who were females, officers, leaders, NCOs, they can get stuff. They can lead, guide, and direct. Let's put it that way.
Well,
all right, take us. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say I feel bad for guys who do agree with this sort of thing but have more nuance, because then they get a bad rap too, and they're entitled to express their opinions about that. But the culture's gonna jump down their throat, and it gets wearisome to have to phrase everything in just the right way, but if it's a better strategy to make yourself heard, then.
Although I will say this to Brian's original point, there's generally no real basis or need for some of the pictures that are posted on social media.
That's
just
true.
Just saying, like, you know, for the love, like I'll never forget Charlene, yeah, and I were somewhere and there was someone outside who, like, she was doing the whole Instagram influencer thing,
oh,
and she had somebody, she was, yeah, taking all the various pictures of herself with the pouty face and doing, and like she was like, it was like a whole photo session with herself. And I thought, that's just getting stupid.
Yeah.
But, all right, take us to a break, girl. We're out of time. All right, folks, that's Copper's Corner. She can lay it down right there where the baby goats can get it. And she is, good at wordsmithing. Her stuff, by the way, when she writes, it comes out weekly on 1819news.com. We also post it on the rightsideradio.org website. You can find the stuff she writes, oftentimes taken from her very own Copper's Corner. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.